Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on the show today. The mail that we've had about the suit's appearance on the show yesterday was really stunning and off the charts. Most of it appeared to be from management. How about your inbox, Sean?
Not too bad this morning. Thankfully, I didn't have to fight to get a word in edgewise during our basketball broadcast last night. So everything worked
out. Tell
us
about that.
Worked out really well. Unfortunately, a bad night at the office for Shikellamy. Central Mountain getting their senior night win, 73-46. They were tied 29-29 at the half. But pretty much all season long, Central Mountain has been living and dying by the three-point shot. Well, Brody Baker, coach's son, Scott Baker's son, Brody, with 23, and the team had 5 three-pointers alone in the first quarter. Baker ended up with 7 trays, and Kyle Eberhardt ended up with 4 threes on the night. So Shikellamy right now, even Steven at 10-10 going into their game with Lewisburg tomorrow night here on WKOK. Then they'll wrap up the regular season Monday night with Southern Columbia. But second quarter, they were getting back into the contest. But third quarter, Central Mountain was hitting their threes, Shikellamy their twos. And Wildcats were able to go on a 9-0 run and didn't look back from there. But fun time.
Disgusting.
But yeah, it was a rough night at the office for Shikellamy. But Central Mountain had a stinker at Shamokin last Saturday, and then Monday lost at Montoursville. They had 13 threes in the game on Monday night at Montoursville, but they only had 8 2-point shots and 8 free throws, and that was it. So, but they needed to get in bounce back mode last night, and they certainly did. So now we'll see if Shikellamy can at least run the table and knock out 2 in a row here to finish the regular season, get 2 over 500, and at least get some kind of a momentum into a district playoffs, which will be here before we know it. Well, it was a great time to hang with the Chief and the suit last night. It was a good time.
Suit was not happy with his appearance on the show. I told him, if you're worried about your appearance, comb your hair. Said he felt unprepared. Oh, really? All right, did you hear the one last night? This will end up being our bozo of the day. But about the St. Louis bus driver? Now, whenever you're on the road, the bus picks you up at the airport. Then the bus brings you to the hotel. The bus brings you to shoot around, brings you back to the hotel, brings you back to the arena. And then when the game's over, they're supposed to bring you to the airport. St. Louis is playing St. Bonaventure last night in beautiful Olean, New York. I've done many a game at the Riley Center. Game is over. St. Louis comes out. There's no bus. Well, the players had their personal belongings on there. I mean, because, look, when you go in, I mean, take, for example, Saturday. I'm not bringing my luggage into the game. I mean, my luggage ain't got to be there. My luggage is going to be on the bus. Bus is going to go, as soon as you're done with the game, you're going to go from the arena right to the airport. So you always load your luggage on the bus. The only thing I bring in with me is whatever I'm using for the game. Pre-game show, charts, things like that. iPad for stats. Players just have their warm-up jerseys, snakes, things like that. That's all they have with them. Players do not have their personal belongings. They don't go in there with all their luggage. They just don't do it. So all the players, the coaches, and everybody, they have all their personal belongings on the bus. They can't find the bus. So Travis Ford, who's the head coach now at St. Louis, uses the Find My iPad app on his phone because his iPad was in his luggage. And they found that the bus was 40 miles away.
God bless technology.
40 miles. And it turned out, oh, yeah, they found the bus. Oh, and they found the driver. Oh, and why don't we just do a breathalyzer to see if he's okay? How about 0.22? How about three times above the legal limit? He's drunk. So what they do is they get another bus. They bring it to the Riley Center, pick them up. They drive them out to their other bus. They switch all the belongings onto that bus. They get to the airport about midnight. They go back to St. Louis. How bizarre is that? Now, we have had certain things that have happened where the bus driver got lost. One night he got lost in Rhode Island. So I went to the front of the bus and told him how to get back to the airport. He says, how do you know? He says, how do you know? And I looked at him. I said, look, I said, grow up around here. Just do what I say. Get on Route 4, make a left, and make a right up here. All right. I've done that a couple times. The worst one for us was at Northwestern. In fact, I got two bad ones at Northwestern. One's a bus, one's a plane. So what we'll do is we'll take a break. We'll come back with planes, trains, and automobiles in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Planes, trains, and automobiles. Okay, let's go with, what do you want to hear, plane or bus first?
How about bus?
All right, bus. They're both Northwestern, believe it or not. Okay? Let's start with, okay, every time you come out of O'Hare, it is very easy to get to Northwestern. I'm talking, it's maybe 25, 30 minutes, but the directions are easy. You come out of O'Hare, you take 294 north, you get off at either Dempster Street, or if you want to go one extra exit to Gulf Road, you can. Either way, boom, takes you down into Skokie. Then eventually you make a left on Grosse Pointe Road and a quick right onto Central, and it goes right to the arena. I mean, it really is, take my word, it is easy beyond easy. Of course, I've done it for 25 years, so it's easy. So I remember it was a Friday night. It's going to be a Saturday game. And I had worked a long week. Just one of those, just a lot of hours. Can't remember the circumstances as to why, but just did. I know it's hard to believe I work long hours. So, we come out of O'Hare, and I see the signs. Okay? South to Rockford, north to Milwaukee. Bus gets on 294. Starts going north. I fall asleep. I mean, I'm out. And after maybe, I don't know, 15-minute cat nap or whatever it is, I wake up. And I look around. It's pitch black. And I said, so where are we? And we're on the way to Northwestern. I'm looking around. I said, no, we're not. What? And Bruce Parkhill was the coach. And Bruce turns around and he says, what do you mean, buddy? I trust you. I said, Bruce, just give me like 5 minutes here. I just woke up. I got to figure out. I said, this doesn't look right. He goes, okay. I look around, and in about 5 minutes, I realize that we are on now Interstate 90, right, going out toward Arlington. And I said, Bruce, we're on the wrong highway. Right? So Bruce goes up, he says, to the bus driver, he says, you're on the wrong highway. He says, no, I'm not. He says, well, that guy back there says we are. He says, and guess what? I completely trust him. Right? And he says, nope, I'm going the right way. And I walked up and I said, no, you're not going the right way. I said, you missed the exit. I said, just get off the highway and go back. He insists that I don't know what I'm talking about, and he's going the right way. I'm like, what the heck? Just admit the mistake, get off the exit, go around and go, who cares? I mean, you can make up for it in 15 minutes, okay? He goes another 10, 15 miles, okay? Then gets off the highway. He then proceeds to snake his way through every town on the North Shore. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, this is bizarre. He won't admit that he did something wrong, so he's going to act like this is the right way to go. And what normally is a 20 to 25 minute trip, you know how long it took us, Sean?
2 hours.
2 hours.
He was snaking in various neighborhoods and communities and highways, but eventually getting back in the right direction.
We were supposed to be there at the hotel at 9 o'clock. We got there at 11. Central time, which means it was midnight Eastern. 2 hours. I'm sitting there like, and Bruce is getting madder and madder and madder because he now knows that I'm right. You know, look, just get off the exit, turn around, go back. That's all you had to do. But he would not get back on the highway. He insisted this was the way to go. Needless to say, the next day, we had a new bus driver. Okay, now the plane. This one might be even better. Matt Seneca starts at quarterback. Actually plays his best game at quarterback, but at the end gets hurt. Zach Mills has to come in off the bench, brings Penn State back, throws the game-winning touchdown pass to Eric McCoo. The significance of the win is that it is Joe Paterno's 323rd win. He ties Bear Bryant's record. And I remember when the game ended, I said, move over, Bear, you've got company. Okay, so everybody's doing. We're all feeling good here. Hey, great! So we're gonna all go to the airport, and we're gonna instead of flying out of O'Hare, we're flying out of Midway. So we're in the downtown Chicago airport. So we take the buses, we go out to Midway, and we all get on the charter to fly back. And again, Joe's tied Bear Bryant's record. We're all feeling pretty good about this. Way to go! This is great. Now we go to leave. We start the taxi. We go maybe, I don't know, 200 yards. And all of a sudden we feel the entire plane, boom, slump to the right. The heck happened? Now we're not moving. Okay. This is interesting. So now we're sitting there, waiting, waiting, waiting. No explanation. Finally, they said, the plane has gone off the taxiway, but there's no need to exit the plane. We'll be able to get out here in a moment. And I was sitting next to Bud Meredith, the longtime ticket manager, and I said to Bud, I said, we got like 10 tons of beef sitting in the back of that plane. I said, with all the football players we got, I said, there's no way we can't without exiting the plane. He goes, well, they say we can. I said, no, Bud, come on. Just logic tells you you can't get too many bodies on there. So we wait another, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes, and the announcement comes. In order to do this, you're going to have to exit the plane. Of course. So we exit the plane. And when we exit the plane, we discover two very interesting things. Number one, the wheel of the plane and a jet wheel is very, very big. Is halfway into the mud. And number two, a very, very strong odor of marijuana. Very strong. Remember, Jay Paterno and I were, Jay says, get a load of that. I said, yeah, how about that? What happened was this, and these two guys got fired. Higher than the proverbial kite, they directed the plane into the mud. Needless to say, neither one of them passed drug tests and no longer worked at Midway. They couldn't get the plane out. We had to come up with three different hotels scattered near the airport. I remember I stayed in a Fairfield, I think. And I remember Joe kept insisting on being the last one to go. And I finally said to him, I said, Joe, look, all the players are gone. I said, you should go get some rest. All right. So he conceded that point because there were only like a dozen of us left that had to go to hotels. And then we were supposed to meet again at 6:30 in the morning. And we met at 6:30 in the morning. And he's fresh as a daisy. Hey. I'm like going, what the heck? He's got the energy of a track star. And they brought another plane in for us. And we load up and we fly out of there, I don't know, about 7:38 in the morning. Of course, we had to taxi by our plane, which was still in the mud and had not moved. Thanks for joining us. Another edition of Trains, Planes, and Automobiles. As only we can tell. This segment brought to you by that Arby's they went to last night near Central Mountain.
They did. I went straight to the gym from here.
You liked that yesterday.
That was great.
We're going to Arby's. We're going to Arby's. And the Shiklemy preview brought to you by Burger King.
Guess where I stopped and got hit the drive-thru last night on the way up to the gym?
Really?
BK.
There you go.
Why not?
Well, in reality, we're brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in beautiful downtown Hummel's Wharf. Nothing like Hummel's Wharf when it's bustling. In fact, I believe Sean could be mayor of Hummel's Wharf if he wished. They love you there.
Do they?
Oh, Hummel's Wharf, you could be king.
Really?
Oh. We go out to the golf tournament on May 3rd, the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. There is going to be, it's going to be Sean Kerry Day.
No. They'll say, where's the suit? Come on.
Admittedly, the primary attraction. People dressed in body armor just to protect themselves. All right. 1895 in Massachusetts, W.G. Morgan invented volleyball. Now no one in women's volleyball plays it better than Penn State. 1895, the first college basketball game was played at Minnesota State School of Agriculture, which defeated the defeated Hamline College 9-3. I announced the game on the student radio station. 1900, Dwight Davis put up a new tennis trophy to go to the winner of matches against England. The trophy, Silver Cup, weighed 36 pounds. It's the Davis Cup. 1932, America entered the two-man bobsled competition for the first time at the Olympics and won the gold medal. 1960, a verbal agreement reached between the American and National Football Leagues to agree not to tamper with player contracts. Well, finally, in 1966, Al Davis had enough and did, and that forced the merger. Let's see. And in 2009, Alex Rodriguez admitted that he had taken banned substances from 2001 to 2003. What's this world coming to, Sean? I mean, what if he were to say admitted for a second time? Would they knock him out for a year? Oh, wait, maybe they did. Wow. Now we're going to do something that is right into the suit's wheelhouse. Bob Costas will no longer be the host of the Olympics. They made the announcement today. Just the mere thought that he'd have to go to some small town in South Korea, 2.5 hours from Seoul. Like, I'm not doing this. Mike Tirico will become the new host of the Olympics for NBC. Bob Costas, brilliant in the role. It is a role that you have to... There's so much research you have to do for it because you have to know a little bit about everything. In fact, you have to know a little bit more than a little bit about everything. And there are names that come with each sport that are more difficult than others. And you have to know them as well. Name me the mistake you heard Bob Costas make from 1988 to 2016.
I sure can't think of one. But sure, you have to be at the ready in case any breaking news pops up, like with the Atlanta bombings in 1996.
I mean, anything. Like Jim McKay before him, and Jim McKay was equally brilliant. Many thought Jim McKay could not be replaced. Bob Costas did it, and did it with relative ease. And it wasn't that Bob Costas was going to be the next Jim McKay. Jim McKay was Jim McKay, Bob Costas, Bob Costas. That's the way it has to be. You have to be your own person. And now Mike Tirico, and he'll be the same way. Mike will be, he's a perfect choice to take this spot. He's unflappable, knowledgeable, well-rounded. A really good interviewer, just like Bob Costas is always. But it's one of the more underrated items about Bob Costas. We talk about his play-by-play, his hosting ability. Bob Costas is an excellent interviewer. And
that's again, true. He used to have that late-night NBC show, yeah. ESPN debuted a brand-new 30 for 30 last week, and it was a 90-minute feature on the one-year XFL. And they were running several minutes of the Bob Costas interview with Vince McMahon, and like you said, Bob was absolutely unflappable that night, and he pretty much made Vince McMahon crack right in front of his eyes, and it's not a good look for Vince.
Well, I mean, and Bob, it was not a good look for Vince, and Vince knows now it wasn't. But Costas was unflappable. Hey, look, I'm just asking questions. I mean, Bob Costas is the absolute pros pro. And NBC's been so lucky to have him, whether it be the Olympics in 1994 being the host of the NBA Finals, when they were trying to weave the game between Houston and the Knicks between what was happening with O.J. Simpson on the West Coast at the same time. And between Bob Costas and Tom Brokaw, they did that. So there is a level of brilliance. And the level of brilliance comes in the ease with which he makes it seem it happens. I've only met Bob Costas once. And when I met him, it was actually, it was probably a 15, 20-minute conversation. He is great to talk to. Because he's intelligent. Has a great sense of humor. I mean, I talked to Mike Tirico far more than I've ever talked to Bob Costas. I only met Costas the one time. But is just really, again, when somebody does something and makes it look easy, and you know it's not easy, that tells you a lot about them.
He has such a tremendous love for baseball. Of course, he was the main play-by-play guy years back when NBC had the Major League Baseball deal. So I wonder if it means now he'll call some more games on MLB Network.
I don't know. I would hope so, because he's good at it. He's also at usually the Friday night game. And I always kind of felt, he did the NBA play-by-play for a while. He did a little bit of football for a while years and years ago. Obviously, baseball. And I know, being a great host, I always kind of wondered if maybe he enjoyed the play-by-play thing the most. And because, sometimes you get to be so good at something, like he is, so good at being a host, that takes you away from maybe what you love more than anything else. I don't know. I suppose if Bob Costas ever wanted to be, he wanted to call a team up and say, I really love to do your games. Something tells me they'd jump in a heartbeat to take them. But maybe the grind of having to do one every single night, maybe he's not, maybe doing one a week's more his cup of tea. You'd have to ask him, I don't know. But as a host, tell me the mistake. I mean, he weaves everything seamlessly from one to the next. You may not be enamored with his opinions on something. That's what happens with opinions. With opinions, opinions bring with them judgment of others of your opinions. But as a pro, as someone who's put in the middle of being the ultimate traffic cop, he weaves you seamlessly from one thing to the next. Mike Tirico will do the same thing. I think he's a great choice to take that spot. And it starts in South Korea. Let's go to the middle of nowhere and have an Olympics. Just remember, Norway won't even bid now. That's not good. If Norway won't bid for the Winter Olympics, that's not good. At least I don't think it is. So that is the big... That's the big broadcast story of the day, is that Bob Costas has said, I'm 64, this is it. I think Mike's, 49, 50? I decided to make the announcement about that now, because I know this is a tremendous emotional blow to the suit. Suit. Huge Costas fan.
At least he's got 364 days to prepare.
No, Suit wanted the job. Okay. Sports Illustrated is already doing stories on next year's Olympics. Now, the Olympic Games are underway a year from today. So they have, let's see, Chloe Kim, who's a snowboarder. She's 16 years old. Let's see who else I got in here. Michaela Schifrin. The suit has, by the way, a restraining order against him when it comes to her. Alpine skier. Jamie Grubel-Poser, bobsled. Let's see who else here. Heather Bergsma, speed skater from High Point, North Carolina. Yeah, a lot of hot speed skating rinks down there. Nathan Chen from the U.S. figure skating team. He's 17 years old. Jessica Diggins, U.S. cross-country team. Sarah Takanashi, ski jumping from Japan. Let's see. Who else is here? So, I mean, they're already doing that. Already telling who to look for a year out. It's all going to be on videotape anyway. We're not going to see any of it live. Isn't it more fun live?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's what at least a lot of the stuff last summer from Brazil was live.
I mean, what do you want to do? Watch the, you know what? Let's tape delay the Duke North Carolina game. We could all watch it at 4 this morning. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai is making 2017 the year of the Elantra. A brand new Hyundai Elantra from Sunbury Motors Hyundai can be yours for only $242 per month. This is not a lease payment. $242 per month on a brand new Hyundai Elantra with America's best warranty. A 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors says a 2017 Hyundai Elantra is the absolute best buy for your buck in 2017. Sunbury Motors was voted best car dealership, best quick service, and best body shop. Now add best new compact vehicle with a Hyundai Elantra, and you just made the best decision of 2017. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is making 2017 the year of the Elantra. There's 34 to choose from, starting at $242 per month, tax and tags extra, at 2.99% APR for 72 months to qualify buyers. Sunbury Motors Hyundai declares 2017 the year of the Elantra.
Great to have you with us. Pete Jensen, NHL.com, next half hour. Penn State football season tickets are rolling right now. Penn State fans have purchased more than 3,600 new season tickets and have renewed their season tickets at a 92% rate. The 3,612 new season tickets for Penn State football sold a significant jump of nearly 2,300 tickets over last year at the same time. It's an increase of 166%. Last week alone, there were 776 new season tickets purchased. That's a record. 92% renewal rate, strong in February, which is actually 7% higher than last year at the same time. Not bad. Not bad. Should be a lot of excitement about this team. They're doing winter workouts now. And coaches get to be around them a couple times a week and so forth. But, yeah, they're doing the winter workouts now. At some point, I will make my way over to a workout. I can guarantee you it will not be the earliest would be Thursday next week. Probably be the earliest I could go. Because, obviously, Tuesday I'm in Lincoln. We'll do the show from Lincoln. Have we ever done this? We've done the show from Lincoln. God, we're doing this thing. This is our sixth year now. We've done the show from everywhere. We've even done the show in Sunbury. Just kidding. We've never done the show, though, in Danville, have we?
Last I checked, I don't think so. By the way, that won't be any old show from Lincoln that next week. It'll be Valentine's Day in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah, you got that right. Kevin Kugler pointed that out in the show last week. We had him on the show. Wow. He says, you and me, Valentine's Day, Lincoln. I'm like, yeah, I'm still trying to explain that one. You're where? I'm not close. Oh. So much snow did you get?
My place, probably about 4 or 5 here at the station, close to 6. Other spots.
About 8.
There's 8 inches out your way. I heard 8 or 9 out toward Wilkes-Barre, 7 in Allentown.
Yeah.
I think for some people, they maybe got a little more than they first thought.
Oh, I know here they did.
Yeah.
The original here was supposed to be 1 to 3, then 2 to 4. Then it became 3 to 5. Then it became 4 to 6. Then it became 5 to 8. Then it became 6 to 10. Thought, well, okay. This is all happening like in a span of like 4 hours to did all this.
Yeah, it started to come through my place last night just about after 10 o'clock it started.
Well, it's snowing here now. So there you go.
Yeah, for my commute this morning, pushing 10 o'clock, it was clear for a good stretch, and then halfway down close to Lewisburg, it was kind of cloudy and caught a little quick little burst of snow for 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah, no, I had a whiteout here between 2 and 3. Okay. So that was...
It was weird. Some stretches of Interstate 80 this morning, the passing lane was clearer than the right lane.
Yeah.
It was rare for that. Doesn't happen much that happens.
Just depends on what the plow hits and at what time. Yeah, I mean, you have to really hit that right.
That's why I figure it's probably a lot of truck traffic during the overnight. It was maybe a while where the plows weren't going through.
Right, yeah. No. All right, top of the hour, Pete Jensen, next half hour, NHL.com. Then tomorrow's show is going to be in Champaign, Illinois. My brother joins us tomorrow. I know he's excited about it.
He is. Yeah, well, I texted you and your brother, Kevin. I found a few basketball games we can kick around tomorrow.
Oh. Yeah, okay.
3 or 4 games.
Gonzaga St. Mary's better be one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so that is going to be the game of the day on Saturday.
Yeah, looking forward to tonight. Nice, tasty doubleheader tonight. Duke and Carolina, followed by UCLA and Oregon.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't talking about UCLA, Oregon. But Oregon's coming off that great win at home where they ran Arizona out. And Lonzo Ball and UCLA, always tough this year.
How about Lonzo Ball's brother in high school yesterday?
At 92. Well, the brother's already committed to go to UCLA.
So they could play on the same team maybe 1 year, 2 years?
Well, Lonzo Ball might go to the draft.
Yeah, true.
It's like Joe Paterno going into Cinnamon's and telling the entire Collins family to come to Penn State. They're like, okay. And they did. Jason and Phil and Andre. Got all the Harrises to go, too. Franco, Pete, Giuseppe. Pete Jensen, with the snow falling, hockey.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.